My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my honor today to bring God's word to you. I can't believe we're in our fifth week of Pain to Purpose. But God's got a good word for you. Anybody need a word today? Amen. If you need a word, say, I need a word. Okay. You shall get what you ask for. Hallelujah. I'm just listening to the Spirit before I get into the Word, so I'm just asking Him, God, what do you want to do? Sometimes we move ahead of God and we expect God to catch up with us, and He says, man, I went left, you went right. How many times in our life, here you go, how many times in your life do you have plans for your own life and then you ask God to bless them and they fall through? Then we get mad at God because He doesn't bless the things that He never wanted us to walk through anyway. Maybe start following the plans of God and start following the things of God and then watch His blessings come forth. Instead of doing your own thing and then asking God to bless your own thing and then it falls apart. Hey, that's the best thing for you. If your plans are so good, why do you keep messing up all the time? If your plans are so great and your wisdom was so high, then why are you so stuck? Why are you so downcast, as Psalm says? Why is your heart so hurting? Why is your mind so wandering? Why is your pain so deep? And why are things just not going well? Don't ask God to bless. So somebody, this is your word, I don't know, it's just totally different. Somebody in here today, quit asking God to bless things He never wanted you to walk through anyway. Quit asking God to bless things that He never put in front of you anyway. Quit getting in front of God, get behind God and watch Him work. Watch Him go forth. See, it says God goes before us in every battle. God goes before us. How are you going to be led by the Spirit if you're led by your flesh? How you can be led by your own desires when God is asking you to follow His plans and His purposes for your life? It's for somebody today. This has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on. But it's a word for somebody in here today. If that's resonating with your spirit, you got to grab that. You got to keep that because He's speaking to you. He loves you. That's what I love about the Spirit of God. It's not just so we can sing and dance and have fun and feel God. Spirit of God leads us to Jesus. Spirit of God gives us revelation of His word. Spirit of God convicts our heart, corrects us, leads us and guides us into the things of God. The Spirit of God takes us to the places of God. He leads us into the plans of God. And the Spirit of God changes us in the midst of all of those things. I love the Spirit of God. He's the third. That's a, yeah, come on, five people over here love it. Hallelujah. Woo. Left side, hallelujah. Strong side, okay, no, that's a movie. A good movie, yeah. Anyway, that's for somebody today. Whoever that was for, receive that word. It's for you. God wants to speak through you. He speaks through people like me to speak to you because He loves you. Not only He loves you, He sees you where you're at and He doesn't want you to stay. He wants to see you through it. He wants to see you through it. And maybe God wants to turn you around because you've been going the wrong way. Turn around. Quit going left, quit going right when God's going forward. Do not be discouraged. Be encouraged this morning. The Spirit of God is speaking to you because He loves you. All right. Hey, by the way, Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. I was thinking about this earlier. Because I know some of y'all, you know, sometimes you like certain worship and sometimes you like certain music. Not every, you know why we have a variety of music? Because not everybody likes the same kind of music. You put hard rock on, I'm out of here. If you can't dance to it, why you listen to it? That's what I think. Why you listen to that junk? Anyway, but some of y'all love it. So I was thinking about this. Jesus is the way. This is just my mind. I stepped away from the pulpit, but let me speak to you for a second. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to Jesus, but there's a lot of ways in worship. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I'm in the soul section. I'll be like, shh, come on, that's Jesus, come on now, yeah, hey. Right, I'm in the soul section. Y'all can be in the rock section. Ah, whatever. Enjoy yourself. Maybe you won't need ibuprofen when you're done headbanging. I don't know. You got a new body with a new neck and a new head. Hallelujah. And a new back. Maybe y'all like opera. I don't know what you like. But I'm getting somewhere. I'm getting somewhere with this. Because God speaks to me through my personality. And he can still speak to me as crazy as going on and up here. He can still speak to me. Anybody testify to that, right? He speaks to me how he made me, and sometimes he's got to correct me because I'm all crazy. But this is what I felt this morning. I felt it first service and second service. Just because you're not flowing in music that you like doesn't mean it's not from heaven. Some of y'all, you're so opinionated and you're so turned off to certain things that you can't even get into worship because your flesh is in front of your spirit when your spirit wants to worship. And just because you can't flow and you ain't got no rhythm. I'm talking to my white folk in the back. Hey, I'm just playing. I'm playing. That's for fun. No, but, and true. I don't know where I'm at right now. Anyway, sorry. People booing because you know it's true. But I want to encourage you this morning. Just because your flesh isn't feeling doesn't mean your spirit doesn't want to join in. Do not be discouraged, right? And if somebody came up and we're playing rock music for the glory of God, I'm going to get into it. I'm going to worship the King of Kings. If I'm not liking the song or the things, so many times our preferences have pushed the presence of God out. And a lot of you are missing out in what God wants to do in your life because you're so opinionated. Your feelings are in front of the spirit. And a lot of times too, this, you're going to get what you want out of God. And it's determined by you. So many of us miss out on what God wants to do because we didn't give him all of us. I'm going to reserve just part of me, or I'm not going to quite give that, or, and you know, I'm not really feeling it here. You know what? I have to preach every single Sunday. I have to preach, and sometimes I don't feel it. I don't want to. I want to be like some of y'all where you sleep in because you didn't really want to get up. Guess what? I don't have that luxury. Sometimes you have to crucify your flesh. And you have to say, God, even if I'm not feeling it, I know you're going to work through it. Amen? So I just want to encourage you this morning. If there's anything that you've reserved back for whatever reason, you're going to miss out on what God has for you. Give him, what's the Bible say? That he deserves your mind, your strength, your body, everything about you. He deserves that. Look what he's brought you through. Look what he's taking you through right now. Does he not deserve all of us? Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. It doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't. This sounds very unpastoral. I don't care. I mean, I do, but I really don't. Why? Because so many times your complaining has missed the anointing. Come on. Your complaining has missed the touch of God because you're so down and out when God wants to get you through it, but you're just so stuck. What's funny is everybody else sees it but you, and you're irritating people. Come on. That's from the glory of God. You are, like, because you should have the joy of the Lord should be your strength. I don't care what you walk through. Even if we die, we win. Come on. I do not have the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Get your mind right, church. Come on. All right, we preach it now. Okay, week number 5, seasons of life is what I've titled this, pain to purpose. We're going to continue this. This is week 5. We're going to go into next month as well. I'm just going to say a few things. I'm going to get right into it. What if that thing that broke you isn't where your story ends? What if that thing instead is where God begins something brand new? Now, this Pain to Purpose series is inspired by Davey Blackburn and his Nothing is Wasted movement. Next month, we're going to talk a little bit more about what that looks like in the future. There is a class that's going to take place. We're just determining the best place that that will be before we kick that off. But there's purpose in this. There is purpose to the pain that you're going through. And we have to stop asking this question, why did this happen? Here's a better question. What is God doing with it? Church, I want to encourage you to come as you are, bring your questions, bring your pain, bring the place that you're at right now, bring your story here, because with Jesus, nothing. Church, say nothing. I didn't have a G on that. Bad English. Nothing. Ain't nothing. Come on. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing is wasted with Jesus. If you want to follow along in your notes, you can go to your Bible app, YouVersion app. It's a free app. And you can go there. You can click on the bottom right corner on more. You go to events. Go 3, 4, 5 down. Click on events. You'll see First Open Bible Church. That's us. You can click on there. And if you'd like, go ahead and press the top right corner, save. Otherwise, it'll disappear in a few days. But you can take your own notes and you can follow along with notes. So when I first accepted Christ into my life, I received some wisdom on what books to start reading. I accepted Christ in my life at 9th grade. Praise the Lord for that, man. I knew Jesus to get me through the teenage years. I'm so glad I knew him, because I would be a hot mess today if I did not. Let me tell you, I would definitely went left when God said go right. There's no question. But I asked the question because sometimes when you open the Bible up, there's 66 books. You're like, where do I start? What do I do? What do I read? It's really hard, especially when you have a lot of zeal and no wisdom. I'm very excited what God's doing, but I have no wisdom in what he's actually done and what he wants to do. So they told me these four books. Start with these four books. Don't just stay there, but start with these and then move into what God has next. So start with this. In the New Testament, go to the book of John. It's one of the Gospels. And then read Romans. I thought, well, that's pretty good. Then they said, in the Old Testament, go to Proverbs. And I've said this before, there's 31 Proverbs, and a lot of times you can read the proverb of the day. So what is today's date? 31. Whew, look at that. And the Proverbs 31 is about a woman of godly, amazing character. But there's 31 Proverbs, which you can read the proverb of the day, whatever day of the month it is, and you can just coincide that, put that together if you want. But then he said also, read the book of Psalms. Now, when I read the book of Psalms, I would think this writer needs some medication. Brother, hot mess. One moment, the author's full of joy. The very next moment, he's sinking in despair. What is going on? But when I went through my own valley, I then understood what it was like to wake up one morning feeling joyful and the next morning feeling broken. Psalm 23, very famous psalm. But you know that psalm isn't just describing sheep and a shepherd. God has a complete different thing he wants to do today. He wants to reveal something out of that psalm that you've probably read before that maybe you've never thought about before. Because Psalm 23, it is famous, but it also describes the seasons of our life. Let me tell you, verses 1 through 3, it describes a season of provision and peace. I love those seasons. There's three seasons. The second season is this. In verse 4, it describes a season of dark valleys. And then the third season is verses 5 and 6. It's a season of victory and anointing. Now, the reality here today is that every single person in here today, you're in one of those three seasons. You're either coming out of a valley, or you're in a valley now, or you're about to head into a valley. Church, you may want to take notes this morning. Don't just stare at me awkward. If I stared back at you as awkward as you're looking right now, it would get really weird. You might want to take notes this morning so you can train for the next season of life that is coming. Let's start with season one, everybody's favorite season. It's a season of provision and peace. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. When God leads, there is no lack. These seasons are green pasture days when life feels steady and when blessings are flowing. We can rest in God in these seasons. And you know what? That kind of rest in God brings us peace. I think we all love these seasons of life, don't we? I love those seasons of life. You know, the seasons where everything's is going well, business is good, family is good, health is good, and everything feels like it's clicking on all cylinders, and we're rested and we're full of life. Praise the Lord for these provision seasons of life. But church, every season has a shelf life. The next verse says, Psalm 23, verse 3 says, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. God refreshes our souls. Why? Because he cares about our souls. Pastor Mark and I were talking this week on Wednesday, and we're talking about early Methodism. I was born and raised in the Methodist church. My grandfather was a Methodist minister. He lived most of his life in Ohio, but there was a short stint that he lived by us in Oregon. And I remember vaguely this, but in Methodism, long time ago in the Methodist church, when they would gather together in small groups, they would ask this question to each other, and they would have to answer, how is it with your soul? I want you to ask yourself that question right now. How is it with your soul? And they'd have to be honest. They'd have to tell, how is it really with my soul right now? How am I doing right now? Oftentimes you say, how you doing? I'm doing great. And then you just got out of the car and you're cussing somebody and you're angry and you're throwing things. And 3 days ago, you lost a whole bunch of stuff and you have a hurting a relationship in your life, or you're angry, you're hurting, or sick. So let's not put on the facade right now and just say, hey, how you doing? I'm doing great, brother. I'm blessed. Blessed. You know what I'm saying? Well, I want to go a little deeper than just a nice greeting. A little get together. Hey, how you doing? Oh, great. Thanks. How is it with your soul? How is it? You know, because God cares about your soul. And the Bible says that he wants to refresh our soul. And if your soul isn't healthy, you're not healthy. What's in here comes out here. And sometimes we can look at somebody and go, they're struggling. And church, you got to take care of you so you can help take care of others. I have this professional coach, not for sports, but for ministry. And we just finished our last session. It was a blessing that the board of elders were able to pour into me so I could pour into the church. And it's really been transformative in a lot of ways. And we were talking about this. Soul care is a buzzword lately. But here's what we've done. Just like what Americans are very good at doing, we turn it to be selfish. Everything we do somehow gives us an angle or somehow gives us a blessing. But real soul care is important and it's biblical. But soul care at the heart of it should be for the kingdom of God. God wants us to keep the Sabbath day holy so we can rest, so we can get to work. We're supposed to be healthy in our rest because God has created us to work. If you can work and you don't work, you're disobeying the Lord. He created you to work. And nobody in here should be retired. You should be refired. Just find a new thing that God's doing in this new season of your life. Find what God wants you to do. because you are created to work, but you're created to work from a place of rest, a refreshing of your soul. But that refreshment, that soul care, should be for kingdom purposes, not selfish ones. Now, I need my time, I need my place, I need my things, I need, you know, selfish. No, I need to be refreshed because God wants to do something through my life. I want to be refreshed. I want to be whole so I can help other people and lead them into wholeness. Because he cares about our souls. When you give Jesus the keys to your life, you'll receive the free gift of salvation because of the sacrificial work that was done on the cross. There was a beautiful exchange. We exchanged our sins for his righteousness. So now, God the Father will no longer see our sins when he looks at us. He now sees his son, Jesus. And the Bible says, and that will lead us in right paths for his name's sake. Psalm 23, verse 3. All right, let's go into the second season. It's a season of dark valleys. Anybody a parent in here, grandparent, regular kind of parent? My favorite dad joke. I know. Somebody's like, come on, Pastor, just get to it, man. How do you know when it's a dad joke? When he becomes a parent. Thank you. Have a great week. Love you. Goodbye. That was my favorite dad joke. It's so stupid, but so practical and so understanding. I get it. Okay. But if you're a parent in here, have you ever had this happen? Your child is standing at the door, a doorway of a dark room, and they say, I don't want to go in unless you come with me. The moment you do that, you take their hand and you start walking, they all of a sudden go into the room with no more fear. They weren't braver because the room was now brighter. They were braver because their father was with them. See, that's exactly how God meets us in the darkest valleys. Psalm 23:4 says this, even though, not even if or even maybe, no, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, church, sometimes when I read Psalm 23, it begins to read me. Note this, it's not if, it's though. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk through the darkest valley, though I walk through a dark valley, because dark valleys are inevitable. But Jesus promised us in John 16:33, it says, in this world you will have many troubles, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Praise God for that. Church, you're not buried in the dark. You're being planted in the dark. I used to think this, the verse 4 seasons of life, they were punishment. They were consequences for something that I did wrong. Isn't it the first place that we go? What did I do to deserve this? What did I do? What did I do? What did I say? How did I act? Why, God, are you punishing me? I love what David does in Psalm 23. He takes two different seasons and he puts them together on purpose. There's a purposeful connection. He leads me into paths of righteousness, even though I walk through the dark valleys. Church, some paths of righteousness lead straight through the dark valleys. Pastor, what are you saying? Are you saying that we might walk through and God leads us through this dark valley for righteousness' sake? Yes, I am. See, God at times leads us into valleys, not as punishment, but as preparation. The season of your sanctification often requires you to go through difficult seasons. You know, some of God's best lessons are written in the dark. I want you to think about faith for a moment. Faith is a muscle. It only grows when it's stretched and when it's strained. God will not cause evil to happen to you. It's outside of his nature. Read the book of Job. Or some of you rookies, the book of Job. I know, it's tricky. It's Job. I realize it's spelt the same way. That's what I thought so too. It's like, oh man, if I read this, I get a job? No. That's not how it works. I know, I got issues. Pray for my wife. Pray for my family. You know, God will not cause evil to happen to you. That's outside of his nature. But God at times does leverage evil like a jitsu master and flips the enemy's momentum against him. What the enemy meant for evil, come at me. God will turn it around for good. He will leverage what is coming at you evil-wise, and you will learn how to use the momentum of the evil to turn it around for good. That's the way God works. You know, your valley is not evidence of God's absence. It's the evidence of God's training. Do you suppose that it's possible that you are misidentifying the dark seasons of life as punishment for something that you think you've done wrong? When God actually wants to use this season, this valley, as preparation for an even greater anointing in your life. The dark seasons that should break you are actually making you. God has led you through the valley, and if he's led you to the valley, he's going to be faithful to see you through the valley. If God has took you to the valley, it's because he wants to teach you in the valley. There's purpose in your pain. You know, in dark valleys, I've been through quite a few in my own life. Ones that I've done to myself, and ones that came to me even if I didn't want it. Welcome to a broken world with broken bodies and broken people. The dark valleys of life prepare you to be dangerous, church. But during those dark valleys, you get to determine what type of dangerous you want to be. You get to be dangerous for the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. Let's talk about a sword for a moment. A sword is fashioned by a swordsmith by putting it, this big piece of metal, into temperatures of upward of 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit. And he pulls this piece of metal out of the fire and places it back in the fire, and then he puts it on an anvil, and then the swordsmith starts banging it with a hammer. Boof, boof, and then when it starts getting cool again, he puts it back into the fire. Slowly, something dangerous is forged in that fire. It's painful, but it's purposeful. Why would a swordsmith put a big piece of metal in a hot fire over and over again while hammering it over and over and over and over again? Here's one main reason why. To make sure the sword is not brittle for when it goes out to be used for battle. In order for that piece of metal to have purpose and strength, to see that purpose fulfilled, it must first go through the pain of the fire and the pain of the hammering. The fire that hurts is the fire that forges. The dark seasons that you thought were meant to destroy you is actually the very process God is using to prepare to deploy you. What feels like breaking is really God building. Church, I've been through some things. I would not be the man I am today, the Christian I am today, the pastor that I am today, if I didn't go through something. He's taking the things that I feel pity for people, and he walks me through a season, then I walk out and I have compassion. He gives me perspective. He gives me a heart after him. So many people want the resurrection of Christ, especially Pentecostals, because you know, after the resurrection, I wait 50 days and then I get the Holy Ghost. Hey, I get the power of the Holy Ghost. But the Bible says that we can't understand the resurrection if we don't understand the crucifixion. We won't fully understand the power and the presence of God until we walk through what Jesus walked through. Until we see the hurt and the pain and the dark valleys and the people coming against us, even though all you're doing is following him and they're coming against you. The enemies are surrounding you. Until you start walking through some dark seasons, you won't understand what it really means to walk in the light. Many of you have walked in here feeling like the enemy is hammering you left and right and left and right, and you're getting weary. And the enemy's trying to distract you and discourage you and destroy you, but God wants to use it to make you dangerous. The Lord is drawing out a divine purpose from within you during this dark valley. He is forging you into the ferocious warrior that he wants you to be, and he's getting ready to wield your story. My wife and I have a massive honor in 2.5 weeks to speak to 22 to 26 couples who are ready to give up a ministry, ready to call it quits. And you know what? We get to speak not out of just the word of God. We get to speak out of experience. We get to speak out of the fire. Somebody gave us a prophecy when we were really going through the hard time. And I'm so thankful there was another one in the fire. But you know what I'm more thankful for as well? On top of that, I should say, is that not only somebody was in the fire, but when I walked out of the fire because I walked out with God, I don't even smell like smoke anymore. I've been transformed. I've been forged in the fire. Because God wants to use that fire and that forging and what he's doing in that season so he can use it for his kingdom. So many people, you are so hungry for the next season and you're missing God in this one. Now I'm preaching. See, I'm just getting warmed up. I'm playing. I'm more than halfway. Hallelujah. Praise God for the ones that made lunch plans. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord is drawing out a divine purpose from within you during this dark valley. Let's get into season 3, a season of victory and anointing. Psalm 23, verse 5, the first part of that verse says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, King David was a bad mamma jamma. That dude was bad. He was awesome. And if you've been here long enough or any time this last month, you know he is absolutely one of my favorites. But let me tell you, how dangerous do you have to be willing to sit down and dine in the presence of your enemies? Think about that. I was thinking about that this week, and this is what I feel like there was a revelation in this. David is confident that the Spirit of God that protects him is greater than what surrounds him. That's why he can sit down in the presence of his enemies. Ooh, come on, choking for the Jesus. Release her, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the best pastors, you recognize a distraction and you just call it out because everybody's thinking about it anyway and then you just move on. In case you're a preacher, that's preaching 101. That's a very helpful hint. You're welcome. Praise God. Moving on. Or you just kind of go through and then eventually you're like, oh, look, 5 minutes later, they're now listening. Okay. David is confident that the Spirit of God that protects him is greater than what surrounds him. Pain and the dark valley seasons have a way of clarifying perspective. You actually don't understand your blessings until they're taken from you. You don't understand the joy of the Lord until you have brokenness in this world. You don't fully understand how good it is with God. Church, when you approach life this way, no enemy opposition can touch you. God is increasing your capacity. Psalm 23, verse 5, the second part of that verse says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Anointing was a process done in the Old Testament when God called someone, usually a king, and set him or her apart for a unique and distinct purpose. A lot of times it would pour from the head and it would run down the beard. Hopefully not ladies. Y'all thought of that, right? Welcome to my head. Hallelujah. I can't get out. No, you're stuck. Hallelujah. At least for 10 more minutes or so, you're stuck. No, but God would, he'd pour that. And the representation of the oil is the anointing of God. And a lot of times it would run down. And there'd be a purpose for the anointing. In Israel, there's a place called the Mount of Olives. That's where Jesus went often with his disciples. And that mountainside is full of olive trees. At the center of that mountain is this garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, this is interesting. It's called Gethsemane because in Hebrew it means pressing. Okay? But another common language that they spoke that day was Aramaic. Now, in Aramaic, this same place is called Gethsemane, which means ascension, which means rising to a higher level, rising to a position. Now, it's very interesting. There's two different opposing concepts to identify one specific location, pressing and ascension. I believe there's significance here that you can't step into God's ascension plan. You can't step into a higher position for your life until you've first undergone the pressing. See, the oil marks you, but the process makes you. You don't step into your unique calling until you undergo some sort of crushing. Why is that, Pastor? Because if we experience elevation prematurely, we'll think that we put ourselves in these positions. Let me tell you, I never wanted to be here. I was freaked out by your faces and the way you look at me. Freaks me out, man. But there's a pressing, there's a preparation. You know, King David, he was anointed when he was younger, but he wasn't positioned. He wasn't appointed until 20 years later. Why? Because there had to be a pressing. I'm going to speak to the staff and board this week about that. If you go prematurely without the crushing, into a position, what you're going to do is you're going to steal God's glory. You're going to think that you deserved it, and you're going to think that you deserve all the credit, and he's not going to get the glory. Crushing always comes before the calling. And if you skip the pressing, you're going to miss the anointing. In church, the anointing is essential to fulfill God's appointment. Remember, God didn't anoint you for your approval. He anointed you for impact. And if you resist the pressing, you will miss the anointing. Some of you in the dark valleys, you're just waiting for this to be over, but he's pressing you. He's pressing you. Do not miss what God is doing. Don't wish away what God is doing. Psalm 23:6 says this, "Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, as we follow Jesus in this valley season, Scripture promises that goodness and mercy and love will follow us. And you won't chase blessing. Blessing will chase you. Why? Because the shepherd never leaves the sheep in the valley. Brent, will you please come? Anybody hungry yet? This guy over here, he's hungry. Amen. You're going to have to wait, okay? I'm not done. Almost done. I want to talk about food before we go. You're welcome. Okay, picture this steak, right? Right now, this steak, right? Sizzling. I'm playing. Let's talk about this. Life is like baking. I said this the first time. My wife's about to go, "What do you know about baking?" We have a deal. She cooks, I clean. That's just the way it works. She makes the meals, I clean the dishes. And that's why our children are not malnourished. Praise God. Tostino pizzas again? Yes. Now put your hands on and bless it, okay? Okay. All right, life's like baking. You have sweet ingredients and you have sweet seasons. You got sugar and chocolate and milk, but then you have bitter ingredients and bitter seasons like flour, salt, and baking soda. Alone, the bitter is unbearable, but together under the heat and in the hands of the master baker, everything combined produces something beautiful. See, God doesn't waste the bitter ingredients, the bitter seasons in the dark valleys. No, he mixes them with the sweet seasons along with his goodness and his love. And God makes something wonderful out of it all. And here's the byproduct. Don't miss this. Here's the byproduct. He makes something that will feed others. God doesn't waste the ingredients of our life. He never wastes a season. You know, life is a life of seasons. And maybe today you're in a green pasture season and it feels like it's awesome. And praise God for those seasons. Don't feel guilty if you're in it. Ride that wave, baby. Ride that wave. Woo! Right? Ride that thing. You know why? Because there's a shelf life for every season. Some of you are walking through the darkest valley and you can barely hold on right now. And some of y'all, maybe you've already seen a victory and God is bringing you through something, and praise God for that. Wherever you are, the shepherd is here. He's not just walking you through a season, he's walking you into your destiny. So let me ask you something. Do you need the shepherd today? Do you need salvation? Do you need strength for your valley? Do you need fresh oil for the calling on your life? Some of y'all called. You're never gonna get to the call unless you let God press you and crush you. Trust me, I know it. I know it. It's true. Jesus knew it too. If that's you today, don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't stand still. You need to run to the arms of the good shepherd, because God is the God of Psalm 23 and he's the God of God today. He restores, he anoints, he overflows, and he's here right now for you. Church, will you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. I'm gonna pray a blessing over your life before we go today. There's gonna be prayer teams over here on my left and my right, which is your right and your left. And they're here to pray for you if you want, but after I'm done praying a blessing over your life, we're free to go. But I want you to do something. Get into a position to receive. Some of you must receive something and some of you must give something away. If you got to release something, position yourself to release it. God, take this. Or if you need to receive something, God, let me have it. So position yourself right now with your hands. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for every son and every daughter standing here this morning. You see their valleys. You know their pain. You know the battles they're fighting that no one else sees. You're with them in every season of life. So right now in Jesus' name, I declare strength for the weary. I declare peace over the anxious. I declare healing over the brokenhearted. Lord, remind them that they are not alone and that you are with them in the valley and you lead them through. Pour out fresh oil of anointing. Fill every cup until it overflows. Take what the enemy meant for evil, God, and turn it around for good. Father, raise up warriors from these ashes. Turn every valley into a testimony. And let goodness and mercy chase them all the days of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Church, we love you. Hallelujah. Give it up for God. We love you. Have an amazing Labor Day. Eat too many things that were cooked on a barbecue. Hallelujah. Amen.